Matthew chapter 13. I'll go there to Matthew chapter 13. U.S. Marine Corps, Marine Corps pilot was flying low in Italian Alps. And following the contour of the Alps, flying low, and he accidentally clipped the gondola cable, and 20 people plunged to death. How many of you guys remember that incident? Good. And a few weeks later, five Navy flyers in the chopper flying near the National Sequoia National Park in California. And they got clipped on the power line and plunged to death. 3 years earlier, Ted, another aircraft incident, a collision to the power line, same power line in that area, and two people died. 1999, NATO accidentally bombed Chinese embassy in Belgrade. Three Chinese journalists died and 20 people got injured. Since 1985, a lot of accidents happened because one same cause. Why? Faulty map. National Imagery and Mapping Agency and its predecessor organization came up with a map that is faulty and caused the problem of the fatality and loss of aircraft, military aircraft. If we don't have a right map, we get in trouble. Being a man, we don't like to ask what? Direction. Ladies say, uh-huh. I tend to ask direction because I don't want to waste my time. So I guess a little bit abnormal. If we don't have a right map, we cannot get to the right designation. And we get in trouble, we get lost. Now, the Bible on your lap is the map for our lives. If we don't read that, it's like we have a best map we can find, but yet we get lost. Literally. Because we choose not to follow that map's direction. We have to cover a lot of areas of 58 verses. Normally I cover about 30 verses in 35 minutes. So we're going to stay here for a couple hours. Just relax. In chapter 13, Jesus being a mass communicator, he trying to communicate to us the truth about kingdom of heaven. This kingdom of heaven is not necessarily talking about kingdom of heaven in heaven, literal heaven. However, this is in general sense what it's like being a Christian or non-Christian like. And he's going to tell us. Some of the people say the Bible is outdated, 2,000 years old or 6,000 years old book, and it's not relevant. Show me there if there's any portion in the Bible talking about human nature is not relevant. It's the most relevant book and the most updated truth any human can possess. Books can be outdated, but this book on your lap would not be outdated, period. There's two things. The people don't like the Bible is because it requires two things. Number one, if you can write it down, please. Responsibility of the human to build humanity to believe God. Responsibility of humanity to believe God. That's number one. Number two is more than number one. It's the sovereignty of God. In other words, number one says we have to believe God, period. Number two, God knows all things better than any human. So who are we to tell God we know better? We don't. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is a map in our lives. We are asking you to guide us to to the truth and teach us. And most of all, after we learn, let us live by your truth. Let us have a heart to obey you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to study about 8 different parables of Jesus Christ. We're starting from the verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Jesus often used the boat as his pulpit. It didn't have a PA system like we have right here, so he had to use acoustic. And because having water in the background and tend to carry the sound a whole lot better. So we go on to the verse 3. Oh, by the way, you need to pay attention very carefully today because I'm going to jump from the verse to verse back and forth. So you need to pay attention, please. Verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying that, behold, the sower went out to sow. And he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, on the line wayside. And the bird came and it devoured them. Some fell on a stony place where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away, and some fell among the thorn and underlined the stony place, please, way up there. And some fell among the thorns, on the line among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And others fell on the good ground, on the line good ground, and yielded crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear, let him hear. Jesus does not leave room for any preacher to come up with their own conclusion, so he explained to us directly. Well, let's go down to verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of a sower, that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. But endures only for a while, for when tribulation or the persecution arise because of the word, on the line, because of the word, immediately he stumbled. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hear the word and understand it, and who hear indeed bear the fruit and produce some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So we find out Jesus is telling us there is 4 type of soil in our heart. Number 1, wayside. Number 2, stony place. Number 3, among thorn. Number 4, good ground. Wayside is kind of people who has heart, don't care about truth of God no matter what. They could kill us. They hear it and they say, and walk away. Second group of people is the kind of people with a stony place. I've seen so many of these people. They have such a shallow death in their heart. Yes, they get excited. When they hear the word of God, they get excited. When they come to church, they get excited. And by emotion only. They go out, buy Bibles, they go out, buy a bunch of Christian CDs and bumper stickers and the fish for the back of their car and drive around for a few weeks. Going from sizzle to fizzle in few weeks. Within few weeks, you cannot find them. Why? Because that emotion gone away. And they walk away from God, and they have nothing to do with God. They sprung up with a joy, but they walk away from God because they rely on emotion, not on faith and obedience. Number 3, we find the people with among thorns. These are the group of people we know, They love to hear the word of God, but yet their attention is divided. And they care about how much they can pile up into their wealth. Nothing wrong with the wealth, nothing wrong with going up the corporate ladder, nothing wrong with having stock in the stock market. I'm not against it, but when our attention is divided, and that matters more than seeking God, all of a sudden it is the problem. So their attention is divided and their heart for God withered and died. I'm asking you this. You don't have to raise your hand. As a matter of fact, I'm encouraging you not to raise your hand. If you're seeking God, yet your attention is divided, and you have no peace in your heart, you are not content, I would venture to say you are among the thorns. And you might say, how dare you to call me I'm among the thorns? I'm not calling. The Word of God says so. So if your heart is divided, then you are in trouble. Let's go to the fourth category. The people with a good ground. There's both fertile and weed-free environment. They want to follow God with all their heart, and they stay at it. Why? Because they are obedient. I'm hoping that all of you and myself are this type of people. Let's go on to, oh, by the way, if you notice, 3/4 of the type of people will not bring forth the fruit. They will not have a godly living. Who are the majority in this world, the Christian or non-Christian? Non-Christian. Yes, they hear the word. American people don't have any excuse. They hear the word, but they do not follow the word. Verse 10. And the disciple came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parable? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mystery, underline mystery, please. And by the way, if you want to write down the Greek word, it's mysterion, M-U-S-T-R-E-I-O-N, mysterion. Actually, the better translation for this mystery is not we mystery. It should be translated, as a secret. Something classified so people cannot know until they are qualified to know. So it should be, the better translation is secret. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, and even the what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull, their ears are harder of hearing, and their eyes they are closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hears with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that the eyes should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and the righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear did not hear it. Idea behind the parable is a kind of word, the exact translation from the Greek was thrown along the side. What does it mean, thrown along the side? Parable is a thrown along the side of the truth. It means heavenly, the earthly story for heavenly meaning. All right? Earthly stories for heavenly meaning. Same sun, the melt wax, harden the clay. Same gospel message, soften the heart of the honest person, godly person's heart, to bring them to the repentance and bring them to the Jesus Christ, will harden the people's heart and affirm their dishonest heart and ungodly heart. You follow me? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, and piercing even the division of the spirit and the soul, and the joint and marrow, is a discerner of the heart and the intent of the thought. In other words, the word of God will divide our heart to either follow Him or reject Him. It's not because He doesn't like us, because it makes us to choose Him or not choose Him. At the same time, parable is not about the illustration that bring forth the explanation. If you guys notice that I start usually with my sermon with the illustration, like I talked about the Marine Corps flyer, the air pilot. I was bringing the illustration so I can explain what I'm going to talk about. Parable is not necessarily like that. Jesus' parable is made for those who are spiritually in tune. If we choose not to listen to Him, parable is nothing more than a story. And we are not getting it. This very word you have, I have, the word of God, to those who do not believe, those who reject the word of God, is nothing more than ink on the paper. But to us, it's a living word. That's the difference. Because we choose to follow Him, because He gave a heart in our heart, inside our heart, to follow Him. Let's go to the verse 24 now. Back to 24. Another parable He put forth to them, saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field while the man slept. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and it went his way. But when the grain has sprouted and produced crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow the good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said to them, do you want us to then go to and gather them up? But he said, no, the lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in the bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. Satan's strategy is simple. In battle, if he cannot beat us, he will join us. What am I saying? He cannot uproot, he cannot destroy the Christianity. He realized that he tried it. Since he cannot destroy the Christianity, what did he do? He put the false Christian among us. In this size group, there will be a false Christian who smell like, look like, talk like. And you claim to be a Christian, you are not a Christian. You are the seed of the enemy. How do I know? I don't. We'll talk about that more. And Jesus explained to us in verse 34. Let's go down to verse 34. All these things that Jesus spoke to the multitude in parable. Oh, by the way, don't look around and look for that false Christian. You won't find it. I won't find it. Even if I know, I won't tell you. And without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parable, I will utter things kept secret from the fountain of the world. And Jesus sent a multitude away and went into the house, and his disciple came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sowed the good seed is a man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will be the end of the age, this age. The Son of Man will send out His angels. They will gather out His gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and those who have practiced lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. I was told the tares look like a wheat at the beginning. But once it grows to have a darnel head, then they can tell the difference between the wheat and the tare. Field is not the human, as Jesus said, the field is the wall. Christ saw the true believers around all over the world to do their work for Him. And the devil comes along and he implant false Christians within the rank of us. They are the counterfeit. The counterfeit Christians, as I told you before, you cannot tell the difference because they will speak the same lingo like we do. They will act like a Christian, but they are not one of us. If you have any doubt, you can read any epistle written by the Apostle Paul. It said, they imitate us. Task of ours is not being a detective. We are not go out to there to pull the false Christian out of from our ranks. Just simply tell the truth. When I step into a dark room, I'm not supposed to pick up the baseball that is swing within the dark room to beat the darkness. You know what I'm supposed to do? I go over to the wall, flip the switch, let the light in. I'm not supposed to fight against the darkness, the forces of darkness. Let the word God in. That will take care of the job. So there is a way to fight. It's not necessary for us to go around and beat this devil. Number one, we cannot do it anyway. Without the word of God. Let's go into the verse 31. Back to 31. Now we're going to find a different parable. Mustard seed and leavens. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it's grown, it is greater than the herbs, becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like a leaven, which a woman took and hid in the three measures of the meal till it was all leavened. Since Jesus didn't explain about this portion, two parables, we have to understand from other parables. What is the best way to understand, interpret the Bible? Using what? Bible. So we have to use the Bible to understand this portion of a parable. I go to the Daniel chapter 4, Ezekiel chapter 17, we'll find about the tree. So we find the tree represent the world power, enormous power. It's abnormally grown size. Mustard seed is the smallest seed of all kinds, but it doesn't grow to be a tree. It grows to be a big branch, I guess, shrub, whatever that, what would you call it. And all of a sudden you find the bird of the air come down and rest. Bird of air, often, in majority case, in the Bible, represent Satan and the devils, his demons, the wicked ones. What Jesus is saying, if I'm understanding correctly, the branch, this mustard seed, mustard branch, the shrub, grown over monstrously. I think of some of the religions around the world. I'm going to make this very careful. Listen carefully. Some of you guys coming from background of Roman Catholic. So you're going to, before you get upset and pick up your shoes and throw it at me, listen carefully, please. Roman Catholic stayed with the, at the beginning, it was not state religion. It was persecuted before the presence of the Roman Emperor. until the fourth emperor Constantine made into the state religion. When he made into state religion, he also made everybody to embrace Christianity, otherwise they will face the death. They had this bunch of pagan heathen priests in the Roman Empire. To survive, they had to turn themselves into what? Christian priests. By doing so, they also brought their old religion concept, Babylon concept, heathen concept, pagan concept into Christianity. You will find a very similarity between Babylon culture religion and the Roman Catholic religion. Babylon culture emphasized Nimrod's mother. Who is Nimrod? He is a great king, great hunter. His wife, when the Nimrod died, she wanted to take over the position like Hillary Clinton did. Why did I say that kind of thing? Just slip of my mouth, I guess. To take over, to occupy the position, she made him, that person, to be her child. And made her to be the one who brought this Nimrod, the great hero of the Babylon. So you will find a lot of Babylon picture having this Nimrod's mother, who is supposed to be the wife, holding the Nimrod. How often do you see the picture of Virgin Mary holding the baby Jesus? That's a Catholic's common concept background. And also you will find even same picture all over the world. You will even find it in China, to your surprise. Because there's a pagan religion that spread out all over. Am I saying the Roman Catholics are all bad? Absolutely not. They have, to be honest with you, Roman Catholic believes a better principle than a lot of Protestant people. Protestant people will accommodate and embrace a liberal concept, but Roman Catholic people will believe die hard, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if you're Roman Catholic, hear me well, please. You believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no other way to get to heaven. And you don't pray to the Virgin Mary, you are saved. I don't care what other people says. If you believe Jesus Christ, the only way to get to heaven. That's the bottom line. And if you don't believe that you have to pray to the Virgin Mary or confess your sin to the priest, or he's the one who can forgive you, then you are home free. Now, after I said all of that, this overgrown tree, Roman Catholic, they have such a possession, material possession and political influence. That's not the Roman Catholic's only case. Protestant church become overgrown, oversized, and they have such an influence, and they tend to walk away from the Word of God, and they come up with their own influence. When they do that, then we start to have a problem. When they walk away from God. Moses did explain the outward expansion, but however, Levins explained inside false doctrine and false living. Levin is always explained in the Bible as a sin within us. Levin spread out within the dough quietly. It pops up. It sprung up like nothing, no other things. That's just like our sin and just like our pride. Some of your Bible study notes, including mine, I use a Nelson's King James Study Bible, talks about that these two parables are good. If you have that kind of same Bible, you might want to pick up the pen and put the X mark on the both study note. Because they are wrong. These two parables are not good meaning. They are warning against us. Within the context, you find verse 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. When you find in the context, this God is, Jesus is using this parable to warn us against false doctrine, false living, and false expansion. Let's go into the 34, there's more parables. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Common interpretation of this parable is sinners finding Christ with the extra cost. Now, with that interpretation, I have a problem. Number one, first, sinner is not the one who is finding God. Jesus is the one who finds us, correct? Number two, Jesus is not hidden treasure in the field. He is most well-known person in human history. Number three, with our sin, we cannot buy salvation. In other words, we are not qualified by anything from God. It is God, Jesus, by the field, the world, in us, and buying everything with what he has. What was he thinking when he buy the field with a treasure in it? He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. To him, we are precious. To him, we are valuable. So he will do anything to buy us back from Satan. Someday I'll explain to you about the contract between man and Satan that he sold. Let's go on to another parable. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, Jesus is the buyer and Paul is the we are, and he bought us with his own price. And let's go into the verse 47. Again, kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of the every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessel and threw back away. So it will be at the end of age, and the angel will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth. It's the same concept as the tare and the wheat parable. Let's go to the verse 51. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." I bet they did. And they said to him, and he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like the household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now it comes to pass that Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did he, this man, get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his son, brothers?" Oh, by the way, you will find that I have never find this in any of the commentary. We find Hispanic right in the smack of the Jesus' brother. Let's look at it. James, Jose, Simon, and Judas. See? Did you find Jose? Some of you got it. Some of you didn't get it. "And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then this man get this all these things?" So they are offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is without the honor except in his own country and his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of the unbelief." Because they are so, in their own way, in their own knowledge, they are so familiar with Jesus when he was a boy, so they did not believe him. Don't you agree? It's hard to witness to our own family members because they knew our past and they don't believe how we changed. Only way we can prove them is by living according to God's way. God is not limited by anyone or anything, But he will, listen to me well, please. He will withhold his hand, his miracles from those who unbelieve. Those who unbelieve. If you don't believe God can do mighty things, guess what? He won't do it for you. I'd rather be a big garter. I know you, I come up with a word like that. G-O-D-D-E-R. I call it garter. Person who believe that God can do all things. I believe God can do all things. So, I'd rather be a big garter than a small garter. Let's make a few applications. Number one. I'm going to ask you this. What type of soul do you have in your heart? What type of soul do you have in your heart? Don't answer to me too quickly. You don't need to answer to me. You need to answer to yourself, to answer to God. Number one, if your heart is wayside, you don't care about what the Word of God says. If you learn what you heard, what we talked about here, and you walk away from it without being changed, you have a heart of wayside. Number two, do you have a heart in a stony place, shallow? You might be excited about coming to church. You might be excited about being with God. However, from the sizzle to fizzle in 2 seconds or 2 weeks or 2 months and flat. If that's the case, and you go from one end to another end, you go coming to church every week, and the next time for a few months, you don't come back to church for a few months, and you go up and down. You might say, I can worship God at home. Yes, you can. But the Word of God says, do not neglect the assembly of fellowship, assembly of believers. That's not a recommendation. That's a command. And also, it keeps accountability. And also, you get to hear the Word of God. And that's where the faith comes from. So, is your heart in the wayside or stony place or among the thorn? Because you want to get rich too fast, you want to get onto the corporate ladder or whatever. If you lose attention from the Word of God, if you rather go to somewhere else coming to a church and studying the Word or having a daily devotion, your attention is divided. Don't punch me as you go out because I said this. If you feel convicted, it's God is the one who is pointing his index finger into your sternum. Answer to him. As I said before, I hope all of you have a heart to follow him. What about the occasion? Let's say you had a wayside or stony place among the thorn. That's the heart you had. Can you be changed to the good fertile ground? Yes. 1,000 times yes. How can you do that? Your choice. Not my choice. I cannot make you to do it. Your choice. If you choose to follow him, you can follow him all the way. With all your heart and mind, soul. And he will open the wisdom and give you the wisdom. Open your heart to understand beyond your own ears. We study about the tares and wheat. If you are a false Christian, I cannot tell the difference. You can pretend, but you cannot fool God. You can turn from devil's side to God's side. You don't have to pretend to be a Christian. You can be a true Christian. How? Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come to him. Not tomorrow, not later. Today is the day, and now is the time. In a moment, I'm going to give you opportunity. Let's stand up and pray.